Welcome to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Maureen shares her personal journey of her struggles with an eating disorder and how that changed her life. Listen as Maureen shares her pain, her stories, and her triumphs. Today, as a psychoanalyst, her mission is to help as many women as possible overcome their challenges. Now, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Welcome to my podcast, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. I'm Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. And I have a wonderful guest today who I am very excited to talk with her, Dr. Beverly Friedlander. Her patients call her Dr. Bev. She is a certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery and has been practicing the art of plastic surgery for over 25 years. Dr. Friedlander understands that appearance conveys an inner sense of beauty and self-esteem. Using her keen aesthetic eye and her years of experience, she's able to restore a more youthful appearance by balancing and enhancing your underlying features, creating a very natural appearance. I was very impressed with Dr. Bev's bio when I read that when she entered her residency, just 5% of plastic surgery interns were women. It's very different now, but back then you were one of the very few women. And she knew the road would be really difficult, but she fell in love with the good that she could do for her patients. Through providing plastic surgery, she would employ her skill, her creativity, and her keen eye for observation to improve people's lives, men and women, in all kinds of tangible ways. So welcome, Dr. Bev. I'm very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really quite pleased to be speaking to you about this topic, which is very close to my heart. So thank you.
Thank you. And I will also say that I have known you for many years, and you have really helped me enhance a lot of my features and also balancing kind of on my journey of also doing my own internal work. You've helped me sort of on my external as well.
Well, that's one of the beauties of not only plastic surgery, but of what I do. And that is I just help people to feel more confident about themselves. And it's not necessarily any major change. Sometimes it's something very small that makes all the difference in the world in how we interact with our surroundings.
So can you share a bit about kind of going through the procedure of when somebody comes to you and they find all kinds of flaws with themselves that you may not see, but they see, and also, and we'll get to this too. I know I'm kind of diverting. Looking at ourselves on camera so often over the last couple of years as well, how do you go through talking with somebody about the work that they want done versus your recommendations?
Well, that's it's a very interesting question, and it's one that can take quite some time to answer, but I'm going to try to compartmentalize it. When someone comes to me for the first time, I try to get to know them. I try to get to know a little bit more about them, what they do, what they perceive the problem is. And in the process of them speaking to me about their issues, I'm actually looking at them. I'm looking at their body language. I'm looking at eye contact. I'm hearing what they say, but I'm really reacting to how they're interacting with me. And that helps me to frame the consultation. Most people who come to see me are really very realistic. And when they spend a lot of time on Zoom looking at themselves on the camera, but not only looking at themselves, comparing themselves. If there are 3 or 4 or 10 people at the Zoom meeting, you're looking at a variety of people of varying ages at various angles on the screen. So in real life, when you're speaking to someone one-on-one or you're looking at a room full of people, you don't have the ability to compare yourself to them. So I think it's that comparison that's really setting the framework for our conversation about whether or not there's anything that can and should be done to improve what they're seeing. And from there, again, looking at the sorts of responses that I get, from there, I can frame the plan. And there's always a plan. It's not a single treatment or a single procedure. It's a plan of how we can improve the patient, the client, basically from the foundation up. Is this something that needs a very small tweak to make them happy? Is this something that needs minor tweaking, or is this something that requires a surgical intervention? And that's how the consultation goes. And even though the patient may not realize it, they are in fact leading the conversation. I don't have an agenda. They are giving me the agenda, and they're telling me, maybe directly or indirectly, how they want to proceed. But that's pretty much how I do it. And each consultation is different. Each consultation is individualized based upon the needs of the person sitting in front of me.
That's very interesting, because I'm sure a lot of people think they're going to come to your office and they're just going to say, can you fix this and this and this? But really, you take a look at them, but it's not just their appearance, but more who they are, like you said, and get to know them. So it really encompasses so much more than just their outward appearance.
Absolutely. This is more about their personality. This is more about who they are than it is about what they want to be. So I think it's very important that if I have someone who is very outdoorsy, who works in Wall Street, that I maintain that outdoorsy appearance in an upscale sort of way, as opposed to someone who may not be quite as outdoorsy, may have, you know, the perfect complexion, always wearing a hat, always wearing sunscreen, who's looking for some other type of improvement. But absolutely, the improvement has to fit the person. It's not one size fits all.
I think that's such important information, because I bet people don't even realize that that's all that goes into a consultation. So I think that's really, really helpful.
That is incredibly true. A lot of people think that because X, Y, and Z personality had such and such a procedure on social media, that is the procedure for them. And oftentimes it's about educating them, explaining to them about the procedure, pros and cons of the procedure, and why it may be the perfect procedure for some people, but not for others.
Well, I know with what I do, I am constantly hearing people talk about how they compare themselves to other people, just as you had mentioned. And it's hard because they're always coming out on the short end of the stick, and they're always feeling like somebody looks better in this way or that way. And I wonder, from your perspective, how you've also seen social media impact the people that you see.
Well, I think one of the issues with social media is that it has exploded over the last few years. And there is literally something for everyone. And I think one of the big concerns about social media is the ability to compare yourself to others, to look at what others are doing, and to wish that you would be able to do that. And it's perception as well, to perceive of someone who's been photoshopped or who has filters on the camera and say, wow, that's beautiful. Look at the flawless skin they have, or look at that hourglass figure. I want that. That's perception. It's not necessarily reality. And I think during my consultation, I'm more focused on reality and what I can achieve with someone. And oftentimes, you know, we'll talk about social media, we'll talk about what it is that they're looking to achieve, and then I'll explain the differences. But it is a problem, and I find that more and more people do have skewed perceptions as a result of what they do see, and skewed desires. I mean, right now we're on an Ozempic craze, and this is weight loss. Is this Ozempic craze going to replace eating disorders? I don't know. What I know, unfortunately, is that Ozempic is a very powerful drug, and it does, it stimulates weight loss. So we're going to see where all of this is going to go. But I think that long term, there are potential concerns about the images that social media is presenting, and more importantly, the images that social media is presenting to the adolescents of the young adults, which I think are the greatest demographic using social media.
What, I'm just curious, what's the youngest person that you've seen in your office who comes wanting to change his or her appearance?
That's an interesting question, because we have a combination of cosmetic and reconstructive needs. So the answer to the question is the youngest patient has been around 11 or 12. And I've seen more than one at that age. And typically it's young women who have excessively large breasts. Mm-hmm. This is a reconstructive issue. It's not a cosmetic issue. Large breasts can be associated with neck pain, with back pain, with difficulty exercising, with a lack of confidence, with feeling that people are looking at the chest rather than the face when conversing. That being said, what I find with these young women who come in is that they lack confidence. They're very shy. They're very quiet. Oftentimes their parent needs to speak for them. And then, interestingly enough, after the surgery, their confidence just blossoms and they're totally different individuals when I see them 3 and 6 months after the surgery. So the answer to your question really involves what the issues are. But for the younger patients that I see, oftentimes these are legitimate reconstructive issues, and the plastic surgery that's performed on them can truly be life-changing. And it really is. It's very gratifying to watch that change.
Well, it sounds like it's such a transformation for people in terms of, you know, I like to think of it as like inner beauty and outer beauty, but when they have felt so bad about themselves and had serious physical burdens and complications because of it, going through these changes can really be, like you said, so life-changing for them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it really is. It's incredibly gratifying. And to a large degree, it's what makes me want to come to work every day.
Truly. But in some ways, it sounds like you also have a very challenging job dealing with people's perceptions of themselves in comparison to others. Are there times that you've had to sit? Well, I'll first say, like, in my experience in seeing you, I know that you tend to be very conservative. And you kind of like take things a step at a time. So I'm also wondering, people that come in and want all these things done, how do you, you know, are there times you say no? And what's that like?
So the answer to that is, yes, there are times that I have to say no. As a physician, I'm looking at not only their mental well-being, but their physical well-being. So there are younger men and women who have medical issues that prevent them from having any sort of elective surgical procedure. So first and foremost, I'm a physician, and I have to honor the Hippocratic Oath, which is do no harm. And then the next part of it becomes their mental well-being and whether or not I truly believe that what they're asking for, A, is safe. Oftentimes, someone will ask for a total body makeover, which might take 10, 12 hours to do. And I just think that that long a period of time under anesthesia is not in their best interest. So I am looking at the physical issues as well as the perceptive issues. What are they asking for? Is what they're asking for realistic? Can it be achieved and satisfy their needs? So the process is one that it takes time, and it's really a matter of, I think, you know, conversing with the patient, educating them, and making sure that I understand what they're seeking, and then making sure that I can achieve what they are seeking. So it's a dialogue.
It truly is. And you're a plastic surgeon, but you also are in some ways a therapist as well, really balancing like their self-esteem and their confidence and how they feel about themselves in terms of what they're asking you to help them with.
No, that is very, very true. It what's one of the other very nice things about my practice is I get to know people over the years. So, you know, it's social therapy. It's like going out to lunch with your friends and just speaking about, you know, things that have happened to you over the course of the day or the week, and, you know, talking about your problems superficially, but it is therapeutic. So the answer is, yeah, I love what I do, and I love being able to interact with my patients on both a physical need as well as that mental need.
Right, and it's balancing the physical enhancements and things that they desire with the importance of the emotional piece of it as well.
Absolutely.
Which is also why I'm so glad that I'm talking with you, because I had no idea that all of this goes into to what you do.
There's an art to it. And I think the art is making someone feel comfortable and being able to transition from one area to another without the patient necessarily knowing what I'm doing. But still, it's helping me to understand what their goals are, what their limitations are. You know, someone who has a very physical job may really not be a candidate for a certain procedure where they have 2 or 3 days to recover. So it all, there's a rationale behind everything that I do and everything that I ask.
And it sounds like you're very aware of a person's lifestyle, you know, like you were saying before, like whether they tend to be more outdoorsy or, you know, the kind of physical work they do, or again, even somebody that has demanding responsibilities at home, you know, how much time can they recover? Like all these things that you have to really take into consideration.
Absolutely. And, you know, to your point, there are a lot of misconceptions about plastic surgery. The two that are opposing are there's no risk involved and that plastic surgery is very dangerous. So with regards to no risk, it is a surgical procedure. There is recovery that's involved. It's not something that is a weekend procedure where you have the procedure done on a Friday. You're necessarily back at work on a Monday. So that has to be taken into consideration. And again, these procedures are very safe. We've been performing them for many, many years, but there are still going to be risks that are involved. So everything really goes into the mix.
Well, and I think that, again, you know, just going back to the perceptions, because I work with eating disorders, self-esteem, body image, and I hear so many, because I deal mostly with women, so many women talk about hating their bodies, having a terrible body dysmorphia, such negative body image, and feeling like they can go in for a procedure or they can get something done and it's going to make a huge difference in their lives. And as you previously said, there is many times a transformation for people, but other times it feels like they're searching for something that on the outside that they're not really going to find until they work on their inside as well. And you're very aware of that.
No, that is very, very true. But most patients who come in to see me have already made certain choices, certain decisions. So I'm not seeing the majority of women who have body dysmorphia. I'm seeing the majority of women who are ready to take that next step. There's a large volume who aren't ready to take that step. So I think my job may be a little bit easier because I'm no longer looking at their method of self-care, whether they sleep, whether they exercise, what sorts of stress they have at work. I'm really looking more specifically at what we can do to take them to the next level.
Well, that's really hopeful for me to hear you say that women are coming to you who many times do feel their inner beauty and outer beauty matches and is more in sync than many of the people that I see in my practice. I'm wondering, before we end today, if you can give my listeners just some tips on things that they can do or think about before they come to see you, some things that they can help balance their desire for, you know, cosmetic procedures and just how they feel about themselves, if there's some thoughts that you might have on that.
That is a, again, that's just a question that had so many different ways to respond to it. I think the most important thing before coming to me is to feel confident in your decision to move forward, to be able to identify what it is that bothers you, perception or reality, but what are the areas that are most bothersome that you would like to address, and whether surgery is an option or not, because there are a number of non-surgical procedures that can be performed that will provide modest amounts of improvement. But I think the most critical issue is being realistic. Not coming in and looking, or not coming in and wanting to look like a specific celebrity, but coming in and wanting to look like a better or younger version of yourself. And I think that really is the critical point. And lifestyle has to match the desire. That's the next thing. So it is important to, work out to some degree, to reduce the stress in your life, just look at all the factors that are involved and to move forward with what you think is going to benefit you the most.
Well, I think one of the key words that you used is realistic.
Reality is really, it's a major issue because we all have perceptions of ourselves. And there have been many studies that have been done over the years where if you show someone a photograph and ask which of the, or show them three photographs and ask which one of the three photographs they identify with, they will identify with their perception of themselves, not necessarily the reality of themselves. So that being said, just to address that, we actually look at photographs during the consultation. I have hundreds of photographs of patients on whom I've operated over the years, on whom I've done procedures over the years. And those photographs really help the patients to identify with others similar to themselves and with the realistic improvements that can be achieved with our interventions. And I think that has helped me tremendously in terms of just helping someone to feel or to be knowledgeable about what we can achieve and to get through that post-operative time where, where the healing is progressing. But reality is an extremely important part of plastic surgery.
Well, and it sounds like you have a very creative, very productive way to help people deal with that.
We certainly do try. We do try. Yeah.
Also, I was wondering if you could just share also with my listeners a little bit about your office. You have an amazing office staff, I will just say. Everybody is so friendly and helpful. And just talk a little bit about some of the different things that you do and how people can find you.
Absolutely. So I will say that I am truly blessed to have my office staff. They are a wonderful group of women who, I mean, their goal is to help others. Their goal really is to help everyone who comes through the doors feel better about themselves. They're friendly. They're outgoing. They always have a smile on their face. They always have something nice to say. And that goes for me as well. So they'll come in and they'll make, they'll say very nice things to me, which are totally unexpected. That being said, they are a diverse group of women, diverse backgrounds, but they understand the procedures that we offer. They have a very good knowledge of everything that we do, and they're able to discuss those procedures with people. And all it really takes is a question. We have videos going in the waiting room. And if someone says, oh, I didn't know that you could do that, then my staff will explain more about the procedure and about what's involved. So we do perform the full range of cosmetic and plastic surgical procedures. We also do non-invasive procedures. Botox or neurotoxin and filler is very prevalent these days. We do non-invasive fat reduction. We do non-invasive body tightening. So these are all things that my staff freely discusses with our patients as they come in. I think it's important to explain to people that you don't need to have a surgical procedure to have a result. So that's what we try to do there. We try to find something for everyone. And I think that we're succeeding at it.
Well, and I know also you have, if I'm saying this correctly, like a Medi Spa. Did I say that right? Also just providing just general maintenance.
So our Medi Spa is actually quite special because realistically, our body is always changing. It's unfortunate, but it's changing for the worse. I mean, we're losing collagen. Our skin is becoming more lax as time progresses. And what we're doing in the Medi Spas, we're trying to restore the more youthful appearance. We're trying to, you know, improve the health of the tissue. And, you know, these are little things that you can do at home. These are things that really don't require a plastic surgeon for, but it requires an understanding of. So we're able to provide all of these services, which just allow you to maintain, you know, that healthy appearance and that healthy glow about yourself.
Thank you for all that information. I also wanted to just have you share how people can find you. I know you're also on social media and we'll have a link to that as well. But how do people find you?
Well, they can find me on the web, and the website is www.drbev.com. They can find me on Instagram, and on Instagram, it's at Dr. Bev, and Dr. spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R, and then there's an underscore Bev, B-E-V. They can also use a very low-tech means of finding me, which is calling me on the phone.
That old phone.
Yeah, that old phone. But that's pretty much it. I mean, we're also on Facebook as well. So we do a lot of posts. And of course, the website is constantly changing, but the website is more of our Bible. And it really is a comprehensive guide to what we do in the office.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bev. This was a fascinating, informative, and interesting conversation.
Well, it was my pleasure.
About plastic surgery and what you do. And again, it's a little bit of mind, body, and soul all mixed together.
Absolutely.
And helps develop inner beauty and outer beauty. So I really, really appreciate you speaking with me and coming on my podcast.
Well, it has been my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining me on my podcast, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. Remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.
Thank you for listening to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. We hope you enjoyed it. Please visit donttrustthemirror.com, where you'll find all our social networking links and can post your stories, comments, and questions. Until next time, remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.